Tonight's scripture reading is from James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let the steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing.
Good evening, everybody. Missed you guys this morning, but I've been busy being on the road this weekend. I've had a lot going on, but it's nice to be home and home for a while. I don't think I'll be doing much traveling after I drop off Doug here tomorrow afternoon, Lord willing. Yesterday is a day that for our nation is something that can be very difficult to get through. I'm sure I don't have to tell any of you that September 11th was a tough day. It was a tough day for all of us. But I'm not sure at the time that I really understood the seriousness of what happened that day. When it happened, I was a third grader. None of my teachers had even given any assumption that anything had happened out of the ordinary that day. It wasn't until I got home that afternoon that I received a phone call from one of our family friends who was from New York, told me to turn on the TV, and I just couldn't believe what I saw. It was something that you never think could possibly happen. It was tragedy. It was terrible to witness. And we can all remember where we are and what we were doing on that fateful Tuesday. It really did change how we lived our lives in our nation. And it changed a few things that I wanted to go over. First off, our safety was threatened. We couldn't go out the next couple of days or the following weeks without worrying what was going to be next. We didn't know what was going to happen. When the airlines finally opened back up, I'm sure there was great anxiety to get on a flight to go anywhere for fear of what may happen. Our safety, our peace of mind was taken away as well. We didn't know what could happen. It's almost as if we had been woken up, as like what happened at Pearl Harbor all those years ago. I imagine it had the very same feeling of being awakened that any day could be the last day. But there was something good that came out of it. I remember the weeks following, just a great surge of people flocking to church, wanting to be with one another, to have some kind of peace of mind, to have some kind of comfort, to have some kind of semblance of family. And it was such a great feeling to have everybody come together in the face of tragedy to pray to God for answers and to pray to God for strength and encouragement. I hope that we haven't forgotten. I hope that we haven't fallen back asleep. But as we go through the book of James, we see that the people that James is writing to are facing similar circumstances where Saul is ravaging the church. He's persecuting Christians and threatening their very peace of mind. He's threatening their safety as well. They don't know what could happen from one day or the next, and it is a great time of sadness. It is a great time of fear. And James is writing to them, in spite of all that's going on, to try to tell them that the things that they're going through It's not because God is mad at them or God is punishing them, but God is testing them. God is testing them to see if their faith is truly their faith. We see in verses 2 through 4, as we read earlier, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." When it says testing in verse 3, it's not a pass or fail type of test. This is the type of test to see if your faith is worth its merit. This is the kind of testing that's referred to when precious metals are put under pressure to see what kind of purity that they have. This trial and tribulation will produce steadfastness, not patience. I think Dr. Moss is definitely on the mark when he says that the King James Version doesn't quite describe what James is really talking about here. Steadfastness is probably the best translation here, because it is endurance that has its full effect. Endurance that we may be able to overcome whatever trials may come our way. But the world we live in today, it doesn't really want to face trials. It doesn't want to face any type of turmoil or setbacks. The world wants it easy. The world wants it the way they want it. Instant gratification is at its highest point in society right now. And it doesn't seem like trials and tribulations are what people want. And that's natural, I suppose. But persecution isn't punishment. Persecution is something that we have to go through to realize what kind of a broken world that we live in. It's not God that sends these bad times and these storms to come over us, but he allows us to endure by leaning on him. I often hear from people who are outside of the church say that if God is so good, why does he allow bad things to happen to good people? Why does he allow these bad things to happen? And the answer is very simple. It's because sin has made this world a broken place to live. And we see in verse 13 that God does not cause these things to happen, but it's the sin that's in the world that causes these things to happen. It says in verse 13, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am being tempted of God,' for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death." We read from the beginning in Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve introduced sin to the world, that God has already warned them that when you partake of this fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, on that day you will surely die. Not dying on the spot, but dying as in you will introduce death to the world. And with death comes pain and suffering and sadness and all the things that make this world a broken place to be. But in that death and sorrow and fear, wouldn't that make our yearning, our motivation to get to heaven all that much greater? If it's such a bad place to be, why aren't we trying harder to get to heaven? Why aren't we trying harder to show others what a broken place this actually is? You know, the world will try to fix its problems with things that just won't last. What comes to mind to me is the world will try to solve its depression, its anger, or any of its negativity with substances. But even then, that only makes you forget about it for a short time. But how long does that actually last? And if substances don't work, we try to lose ourselves in the work that we do or the hobbies that we have. But even then, we have to get back to it at some point. How long does it last? This world is a broken place. Sin is incurable without God. Left unchecked, we will live in our misery and our pain, and there will be no hope. Why not reach out? Why not take one more step? Why not do one more study? Why not say one more prayer? Why not take one more step towards heaven? This place is not the end-all be-all. Monetary happiness is simply just that. It lasts for a short time, that's gone. Why not, while we're going through our trials and our suffering, go through them with the assurance that God will see us through and that He has prepared a place for us when we had lived faithfully to the point of death? It's a dark time to live in. But the storm will end. God will see us through if we remain faithful to Him. If you have need of prayers of the congregation, we would ask that you would bring it forward, because we are all going through storms of various kinds. Why not bring it forward to have the ones who love you, pray with and for you, and to carry you through, to help you through with the endurance that we are called to have? And if you are not obeyed the gospel, we don't know when this life will end. God has a time for us to be called up. Why not be assured for when that time comes? If you have any need, please come forward as we stand.